Hello, and welcome to Friends for Life, a podcast of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Mission. We're here to come alongside you as we journey through life under the cross. What does it look like to care for our neighbors in body and soul? How do we tend to our own body and soul? How can we speak up for life? And finally, how do we share the faith with the next generation? Join us as we have these conversations and learn together. We hope you'll stick around and be our friends for life.
Thanks so much for joining us. I'm your host, Steph Neugebauer, here with my guest, Deaconess Marissa Kroenke. Marissa, welcome. Would you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah. So as you said, I'm a deaconess. I am blessed with an amazing husband, Andrew. We've got three children who are currently 5.5, 3.5, and 20 months. We are in the stage where those halves are very important, especially yes. Because my babies have fall birthdays. So sometimes they feel like they go a long way between Christmas and their birthdays without celebrations. So they really count down. Prior to attending seminary, my undergraduate work was in early childhood education and child development. I was working in fields very related to those topics, kind of all through high school and college. And so after graduating from seminary, I served a church and school in Florida, where I was teaching religion in a variety of grade levels, leading youth group, a lot of children's ministry activities. So these conversations we're planning to have today, I've had with a variety of age groups, whether it's at home or in various volunteer and serving opportunities.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to have you on, Marissa. We get to work closely together, and it's a joy to get your perspective. It's helpful to get your perspective on, you know, how kids perceive things, because adults, we have a certain way of thinking, but kids, as they grow and mature, have their own way of viewing the world. And it's in part the job of parents to be able to answer questions with clarity and with truth and to guide them throughout their development. And so today we're specifically talking about how to talk about the issue of abortion with your kids. And I would imagine that topics like abortion, at least with your age, kids don't regularly come up around the dinner table. But yet I know that in your home, Marissa, you are already teaching your kids about God's love and his care for unborn babies and for their moms and dads. You know, Christian parents are laying the groundwork for all sorts of future conversations when they teach their little ones God's beauty and his design for marriage and for family and God's good gift of life. So, Marissa, how are you having these types of pro-life conversations at home with your kids starting at ages 5.5 and below?
Yeah, I love that you use the word groundwork there, because for me, it really comes back to how we lay the groundwork with our children regarding life and death. Because if we give them that understanding to begin with, it opens us up to the more nuanced conversation, the questions that they may have about more specific details around death. And there are obviously developmentally appropriate ways that we have those conversations. We're not trying to shock and awe our children, but a gentle introduction over time about biblically accurate facts around death and life is really where we start. I had a professor in the seminary say that it is best to not be afraid of the D word, death, to say it, to own what happens at the natural end of life. And so with our kids, it just starts with, we don't say we lost someone or they went away. We are open with them that death occurs. And that begins to lay the groundwork or the framework for further conversations about when death occurs, not at a natural end of life. Right now with my little ones, that's mostly where we are. They've had, you know, older family members pass away. And we speak honestly with them about what's happened. And with kids, there's a lot of repeating and rehearsing as they process information. And I think that's one thing that can sometimes feel shocking, particularly with the little ones. They don't shy away from saying things over and over or asking things over and over. So like we have a frequent conversation. They'll look at a picture and point out, you know, their great-grandmother and say, oh, that's Mimi. And we'll say, yeah. And they say, oh, she's died. She's in heaven. And we treat it as normal and every day that this is the reality. And So then that allows us to instill this love of life. We talk to them about the beginning of life. We teach them to love babies. In our house, our family gallery wall with pictures, each child has one of their ultrasound pictures on there. And they'll point to them and say, that's my first picture. We've always encouraged the older siblings to come with to ultrasounds as they've been able. We talk about that babies are vulnerable and that we help them and they need our care. And so when we have kind of laid this groundwork and framework for children, it prepares us for the questions. They're not as shocking. They're not coming out of left field when your kid's a little bit older and they're saying, hey, somebody told me about this thing called abortion. And you're not totally unprepared to speak about death.
Yeah. Now, I would imagine, Marissa, that like a lot of other topics and conversations that maybe in generations past they weren't having to have until their kids were a little bit older, now more and more our kids are being exposed to these kind of topics earlier than we might expect. So in your experience working with families and kids, what's the earliest age at which maybe a kid will ask, Mom, what's abortion? I heard a kid talk about this. Or I guess just so that we can prepare parents for, at what age should I be ready to answer this specific question?
Yeah. And that can vary a lot on each family's situation, on what each child is exposed to, where they might hear even just the word abortion. I know that I definitely had third graders in a religion class asking me about it. And I'm sure there's households where their child has asked even younger, and not necessarily because someone is sitting them down and saying, this is what abortion is. I think sometimes we worry that there's this big boogeyman-esque aspect to someone telling our kids about abortion, but they might just hear the word in passing, or they learn to read and they just see it on a billboard, and they're not necessarily asking, what is the process of abortion? Or what are the legalities around abortion? They're literally just asking, hey, there's this word I heard. What is it? So, I mean, I agree it can happen pretty young, especially because of some of those things I mentioned of they see a commercial, they hear something on the radio in passing that is not, you know, someone purposely teaching them about abortion, but they're just exposed. And so I personally think you should never be ready too young. But I also think that what being ready is doesn't have to be a clearly defined, these are my bullet points that I'm going to go through with my children when they ask me the word abortion. It can come in stages. And it's, I think, important to also ask what we would call leading questions. Why are you asking me about that? Where did you hear that? So that we don't maybe overload with information that they weren't actually asking for. I would guess that a lot of parents can probably attest that there are times we purposely don't supply children with information if it's not information they need yet and not information they're asking for yet. So that's just kind of a caution that I think sometimes when kids ask us about these big concepts, we worry like, okay, who told you about this? What all do you know? And they weren't asking for that much information, and they maybe hadn't even received that much information yet.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm, you know, guilty of that myself. And so to answer or respond to a question with a question is really a good thing to have in your toolkit as a parent. So that's great. We have our oldest is 10. And you were right on just with my own anecdotal experience of at around third grade, we actually started getting pointed questions about this. And we, like you in our home, have been doing a lot of preparation and laying the groundwork for teaching our kids God's good gift of life. There's even really great CPH books about, you know, doing this and giving parents the tools to do this. But we hadn't just, you know, sat down with our kids and said, kids, this is what abortion is. But one evening we did get a question from our oldest son of, Mom, Dad, I saw this word driving through town. What is it? So if you get that kind of question as a parent from a third, fourth grader, Can you give us some tips about how to handle that? Like, walk us through kind of a mock conversation, if you will.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, I would definitely start with, well, where did you see that word? What do you know about that word? What do you think it means? Does it sound like another word you've heard? You know, just kind of seeing where they're at. Because I think we oftentimes, at least I know with my oldest, there's a lot of internal processing that goes on before I get a question. So I need to figure out what's going on in that little head that I specifically need to react to and address. And, you know, if we're still speaking about that kind of third grade range, I would then go from there to kind of a simple definition of the word, something along the lines of, well, abortion is a procedure in which someone thinks that it's okay for a baby to die before they're born, or perhaps other similar words that they may be familiar with, but keeping it rather simple, not getting into the nuances of what happens, because kind of going back to what I said before, we're not trying to instill a fear with these conversations. Just because we're talking about something that we would say is wrong doesn't mean we can't talk about it in kind of that more clinical, plain way. And I would then probably circle them back to, well, what have we talked about that, you know, God is who decides when life ends? And so we would say that something like an abortion is an incorrect way for life to end. And I would probably keep it at that unless there are further questions, which there probably would be. But I, especially as an initial conversation for that age range, I would keep it at a pretty simple, this is what it is in very plain terms, and this is why we would think it's wrong. I know that we could draw out kind of why moms or families may feel the need, but I would probably save that for a further question, because they may not even be considering yet that, like, oh, hey, a person is making this choice. And that brings with it a lot of nuance.
Yeah. So we have had the question, like, Mom, why would someone do that?
Yeah, which is makes sense. A logical follow-up.
Sure. So what are some suggestions about how to handle that?
I had it said to me once where someone said, moms have to make impossible choices a lot of the time, particularly a mom in distress, a mom who maybe is not feeling supported or has concerns about how she would care for her baby. So I would probably come at it from that empathetic standpoint first for a child of, hey, look, sometimes people who are really hurting, who are really struggling, make bad decisions, and we want to encourage them not to make those decisions. We want to love them through those decisions and care for them on the other side of the decision when they are perhaps feeling regret. And just because children are so highly emotive, they will resonate more with that side of the abortion discussion than the law and the legality side, and giving personhood to these moms that either are making this decision or have made this decision, that we, you know, teach our children, this is still someone who needs our love and God's love. And we need to really consider how we can care for women who are considering.
Well, yeah, and it seems like, you know, kids are incredibly intuitive, especially about stuff that pertains to natural law. So for a kid, typically, instinctually, it's a shock of, I can't imagine, you know, someone killing someone else or causing the death of someone else. And it seems to me that this is the, you know, kind of the right time to instill in them, like, yeah, what your gut is telling you, what God has placed in you and on your heart as this natural law, including, you know, your conscience, that instinct is right in this case. And yeah, we want to help moms and help dads protect their children, and we want to help care for these little babies. So then the conversation could continue to go, well, how could we do that? And what can we be praying for. Something that I really like about our family ministry calendar devotional guide is that throughout the month, we're praying for pregnant mothers and babies in our devotional guide. So that's honestly also another way that this kind of conversation naturally comes up. So a response could be, let's pray too. Let's pray for everyone involved. I love your suggestions so far, Marissa, but what about as kids get older, questions get harder and more nuanced? And you're very familiar with the kind of confirmation age of kids, junior high, entering into high school. So let's talk about that age group. What might the conversations look like at that age?
Yeah. Well, I really love what you just said about, you know, kind of having an action step after the conversation, particularly if we've got kids that are really troubled with this or struggling. And we'd probably see that as they get older. You know, the younger ones will generally, oh, okay, and maybe have some more questions. But as we get into these older confirmation ages, like you said, we'll get more detailed questions. And we also may have children that it's weighing far more heavier on their hearts and minds. And so there are perhaps, you know, those that direction to pray and, you know, different fundraisers participating. And so that's not exactly how we'd answer the question, but just that we get opened up to more options of them essentially getting involved if this is something that's concerning them. In regards to the questions, the beauty is at this point, they are, well, at all points, they hopefully are studying the catechism, but they're really digging into it likely at this age. And so as we really get into the questions and answers portions that has prepared answers to some of the things they may bring up regarding these conversations about death. And I mean, slight shout out, but we have some great LCMS Life Ministry resources that parents can do in the home or encourage their churches to use with our curriculums, or there's a newly published kind of question and answer document that maybe would not have quite all the questions that kids can come up with, because they can come up with some pretty crazy ones sometimes. But I think with this age, as the more intense questions come, something that I think is very important for parents to remember is it's okay to tell them that you also don't know and to look into it together, because that's going to actually deepen their confidence in your knowledge if you're not just kind of throwing things out there. If you're saying, hey, yeah, that, for example, what about abortion with the case of a difficult prenatal diagnosis? You know, I haven't read up a whole lot about that either. Let's dig into it together. Let's ask pastor. Let's review this resource together and find the answers that you're looking for. I think it's important that parents know you don't have to have the answer to every highly specific question that a child may ask about this, because no one does. Even some of our most studied doctors will say, oh, I need to ask this other person about it, because everyone's going to have a different kind of knowledge set. And that's where kind of knowing where to get your information and your resources. And something unique about this confirmation in high school age is they naturally will gravitate to other adults. They will want to know what their youth leader thinks, their DCE, their pastor, their aunts, their uncles. And so it can be important to direct them to those that you know will also have a solid teaching. It's just one of those developmental things. They reach that age and they are very focused on their coaches, their teachers, other people. I mean, obviously they love their parents, but it's just one of those things. And so knowing where to direct them, sometimes even preparing people, letting your DC know, hey, by the way, we've had a lot of questions about abortion at home lately. Have you considered walking them through this Bible study? Or do you know of a resource that you guys could do a short 3-week study or something to kind of prepare them with those answers? It's kind of hard at that age to sit here and say, this is how I would answer X, Y, Z, because that's where a lot more nuance gets introduced, a lot more of their specific situations. You know, if they even at that age, unfortunately, are starting to maybe know of a friend who, you know, experienced a teen pregnancy and made an abortion choice or is considering an abortion, it is happening younger and younger. And so there's just a lot that is going to start getting drawn in as they reach that adolescent age. And so it's kind of hard to concrete say, tell them this, yeah, more so being prepared for how to handle the question and where you're going to draw your information from.
If parents wanted to be feel a little bit more equipped or be a bit more, you know, proactive about, well, I can forecast that, you know, in the next couple of years, we're going to have these tougher conversations, where would you direct parents toward in order to kind of gain some understanding or knowledge about this topic? You had already mentioned some things we can link in the show notes too.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I definitely think even our things in the LCMS Life Ministry resources that maybe are directed toward kids, it's still good for a parent to review, you know, how to have these conversations with children. And that's where I primarily go. You mentioned CPH has some great books too. I also obviously am not having these in my home yet, but in the classroom, you know, I was going to the catechism, I was going to the religion curriculum, I was using pastor and fellow teachers. I think that's something not to be overlooked too, is parents of kids that are older than yours or other church workers, hey, how did you handle this conversation? Do you have anything? Do we have anything in our church library? Is there a resource that worked really well for your family? I think. And then there's also, I mean, any number of pro-life organizations that are producing resources as well. Things like the Baby Olivia video that we will use sometimes. There's, you know, the March for Life organization that we often partner with also puts out educational information. And sometimes there may be nuance to us as LCMS Lutherans using resources from a different organization. And so we would just recommend that you review it first and not just throw something to them to read, but kind of see what you can align with and how you can utilize it in your home. And the interesting thing about this age too is this is where you'll start to have the sexuality aspect. And that's has been and can be a whole other podcast episode of how we talk about those issues with our kids. But knowing that this conversation is likely to go hand in hand with any biological questions they may be asking. And again, things that they will be hearing about far younger than we would probably anticipate.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question was, well, and, you know, just parents, just be aware, not beware, but be aware that this topic will likely open as a or serve as a segue into other topics like sex and sexuality and individual sexual expression and man and woman stuff and even issues like bodily autonomy and hearing maybe their friends being like, this is, you know, my body, my choice kind of thing. So all of these are very interrelated. And so just to know that when you talk about this topic, you will likely end up talking about other things that maybe weren't quite as expected as well.
Yeah. And I would say that those topics are also ones that we can kind of circle back to that groundwork and framework that if we start talking about our bodies at a very young age, when we start talking about your body is for you, but a baby's body is its own body, and talking about, you know, you are a girl and you are a girl from the moment that you are conceived, and that doesn't change. And, you know, someday you may be a mom. And just really, it's how we sprinkle it into the everyday life so that when they sit us down and want us to have the conversation, they aren't coming at it with nothing. We've given them some tools to process these kind of information.
Yeah, building blocks. This is building yep. block stuff. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Marissa, just in general, why do you think these kind of conversations are scary for parents?
Yeah, I touched on a little bit before. One thing that I think sometimes scares parents is feeling like, you know, we don't know ourselves. We are not prepared with all of the answers, but I think most parents would take a hard look at themselves and realize there's a lot of questions we're not prepared to answer. It's not just this topic. So I think that can bring a certain amount of fear with it because we want to be able to answer our children's questions. We want to be able to calm their fears. And we just won't be able to have the answer to every question. But we can work with them to find answers. And I think a very important assurance is our children's faith is not dependent on how well we answer a question. We've been given the job to foster their faith. It's our role, our responsibility to teach them. But the reality is it's the Spirit working through us. And so when we feel like we don't have the words, if we stumble or we're concerned that we didn't answer it as correctly as we may want to, I think that's a very important point to go back to, that it is, the reality is it's not our work. It is the Spirit's work through this blessing of a vocation that we've been given as parents. I think most parents have probably known a family where children have grown up and maybe made different choices than their parents wish they would have. And those are the moments where we just kind of have to be confident that we have taught and we continue to pray and we trust that those seeds that were sown will come to fruition in some way, shape, or form. It's not an easy reality to sit with as we think about our children growing up, that we want to do it all right. We want to give them all the correct answers. But it's in some ways a blessing that we know that the Spirit will work through what our words may be in our fallible human words.
Yeah, that's ultimately what you just gave is a really kind word of encouragement for parents to be like, you know what, this burden that you feel on your shoulders, the Spirit's your helper. And mm-hmm. and he gives words, he guides, and ultimately he gives wisdom. And so, yeah, thank you for the reminder too. And for any, you know, parent who's listening who feels like they may have, you know, messed up with previous conversations, you know what, it is okay to go back and say, you know what, when you had asked that, I didn't feel as ready as I had hoped. Can we talk about that again? Because I talked to Pastor, I looked some things up, and I wanted to share with you what I learned. That kind of repair is also essential in relationship building too, and it's good for your kids to see you readdress something, repair stuff in your relationship, and work toward providing, you know, clarity as you communicate. So thank you so much, Marissa, for offering so much guidance, wisdom, and help for our parents today. I really appreciate having you on.
Yeah, of course. This has been lovely. I think it's one of those things that, like you mentioned, that it weighs on a lot of parents. And so it's really important to know that it's not just weighing on you. It's weighing on multiple parents, and that we can kind of work together, because our community doesn't just have to be those in our physical proximity. We have a whole community as LCMS members to share in these resources, share in these abilities to not necessarily have the conversation the same, because every household's going to have different needs, but to be able to tap into, well, how are you talking about this? How are you talking about this? How can we work together to make sure we're raising up this generation that can talk about this in well-educated ways?
Yeah. Thank you. Agreed. Thanks, Marissa, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review, and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at LCMS Life. And finally, listeners, we want to hear from you. Do you have an idea about a guest you'd like to hear from or a topic you want talked about? Email us at friendsforlife@lcms.org. We want to hear from you about what you want to hear about when it comes to issues of life.
Thanks for joining us. Friends for Life is a podcast that discusses the life God has given and the people He has called you to serve, right where you are in God's mission.